Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Details on the BVS Ultimate Cut. Lex Luthor will be in Justice League, and the Flash feature film finds a dope director.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
The squad is back. Welcome, everybody, to the DC Movie News Show right here at the Popcorn Talk Network as Adam and Roxy kindly
pet each other?
Right. Pet each other, I guess.
Just a little light petting.
Yep, sure. Just a little light
mild
petting.
Sensuality.
Mild sensuality. Not mild. Not.
Roxy went to the old studio where we haven't been in about a year.
Yeah, since September.
So proud
It's been months.
That's a great
She's
move.
Drunk.
That's a great
Wasted. Clearly.
Well, here we go, guys. This is DC Movie News here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We are at DC Movies SK. We are Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Welcome. We got the original squad here. You know, last night we were saying to ourselves, not a lot of stuff going on this week. And all of a sudden, the DC God said, you know what? Let's give these kids something to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Not necessary.
No, we were so
nope.
in tune.
Moving on.
That nailed it.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
Frightening we're so in tune. Intros, here we go. I'm at Jay Quasco. That man right there is the host of Man vs. Child on the FYI Network and FX Movie Download. Find him on Twitter at Adam Gertler. He's also the resident worst mocker. He's Adam Gertler.
Hello. Greetings. Happy to be here.
I have your meat on the couch.
Oh, that's so great.
I grilled a bunch up last night. It's delicious.
Thank you. That was a test. That was
a
tester.
I know. I was like, damn.
But, you know.
So
yeah.
good. So good.
Excellent, guys.
Next to him is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show, and she happened to drive to Encino first before coming to this studio. She's the host of very popular TV Fights on Screen Junkies. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer, because you know she's Roxy Stryer.
You know it.
Hi, guys. I'm excited that I made it to the right studio eventually to talk to you guys about all things DC except for TV time, because WTF.
Right?
That's how I feel. I'm just really sad about TV not... being in my life right
I get kind of happy because it's like you have anxiety. And I don't have to keep up. I can slow down for a second. Let me catch my breath.
But not even to get a Preacher? Yeah. Come on.
I caught up on Legends. I was excited for Preacher this week.
I
and
caught
I'm
up
like,
on
oh.
everything too, and I was disappointed. But yeah. We can talk about that later.
Oh, really? We'll do a fake TV time.
I want to check out that Outcast.
We're doing a real TV time.
Yeah.
Anybody see the Outcast
yet?
Yeah, I did,
yet? So I went to the premiere
thing?
Last night.
Oh, that's right. You were outside in the cemetery.
I was. We went to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. We saw the first two episodes.
First two?
Yeah.
And I think you can only watch the first one right now
online.
Yeah.
So we saw the first two. It was spooky.
I heard it was great. People like it a lot.
Really good. Really good. And, oh my God, he's just the nicest. That was my first time meeting him. And he was
you
amazing.
Met him?
Yeah. Yeah, did the red carpet and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So it was great. It was really awesome. And they seemed like a great cast and great crew of people to work with. So yeah, there's stuff to tide us over in the meantime.
It seems like this is the show that if it does well, he gonna get paid on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think like the first thing it was like not as much. The Walking Dead, and this one it's like really his name is up in front, is really selling the show.
Yeah, Fear the Walking Dead really he sold too, and now this definitely.
Was that his idea though? I thought Fear the Walking Dead was the network's idea, and he kind of just like went with it. It was more like we're doing this with or without you.
Well, I don't think they were doing it without him. Could you do it without him?
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, he said that kind of offhanded when he was in like the Mark Maron WTF interview, and I couldn't tell if maybe he was being a little...
Bullied into it a little bit?
Well, you know what? It seemed like there was more truth to what he was saying than he was just joking, but I get it, you know? I mean, and honestly, I kind of wish Fear the Walking Dead didn't exist. I really do think it dilutes that whole brand.
I've never seen it, and I honestly, like, because I'm always way behind on TV shows, and the way it's been explained to me, they're like, it's just like The Walking Dead. Only a different cast.
And on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know about Fear, but I do know that Outcast definitely worth your time. And all DC TV is worth your time. So if you're not watching DC TV over the summer, you should watch Outcast. But also Preacher.
That's right.
And there was a talking Preacher this week.
I watched
that.
So
that was the difference.
Very enjoyable to have those guys on the couch.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
And this man right here, very talented actor and DC Encyclopedia and the host of Character Corner, which we all know and love right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Find him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski, because he's Mikey Christmas Kalinowski.
Ho, 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 ho. It's only about 6 months away to Christmas.
Dude, it's June. It's June.
I know. What is it? Christmas in July is the...
Yeah. That's Christmas all year Christmas.
It's close. We're close. How you doing, man?
All right. Doing good. Been slow this week, so it's kind of like... We're in that weird season for you know, acting and stuff. It's like pilots are over and cast. Network episodic is not picked up, so it's kind of like... Now it's slowing down, so I'm just kind of like, ooh, all right.
Well. Doing a lot of baking?
No, I'm... New diet. I can't do the baking. I stopped that for about 8 weeks.
We're going low carb now?
Not low carb. Just getting rid of the... I can't... I live by myself. I cook and I make, you know, recipes they don't make for one person. It's for, you know, a family of five. So there I've got 2 dozen cookies at home.
That's when you need Christmas to be giving stuff
that's
away.
That's exactly
I
right.
Still, I still dream of those little bars you made.
I'll make them again.
God,
one day.
All right, well, I guess we'll get into it. Starting off, a little fun story. Why not? Stan Lee, this past week, was at a Comic-Con in London, I believe.
London, England, Excelsior!
And someone asked him, that's a pretty good interpretation. Someone asked him about, you know, if we'd ever see like a DC versus Marvel kind of feature film, and if you want to do his voice, feel free.
Oh, I can't do it. I just do the Excelsior.
All right, well, I'll give it a...
Excelsior!
Well, you know, that would be really terrific. And we did a Spider-Man vs. Superman comic book years ago. Of course, Spider-Man won. Ha, big laugh from that. a big, giant-sized book, which sold really well. And you know, I don't think there will ever be a movie like that because of the lawyers and the businessmen and all the contracts. But if they ever do it, man, I think everybody would want to see that.
Excelsior! You gotta, that's his button.
There you go.
It was kind of like a Stan Lee cross with Robert De Niro.
I liked it, though.
Like, but it worked well for me.
That's not even De Niro, is it?
I can't do his voice, but he has one of the most distinctive voices. I guess I was first introduced to that voice when, like, I would watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and The Hulk were back-to-back cartoons. Amazing block of television.
What will Spider-Man and Firestorm do next?
I mean, that was the first time I ever saw the X-Men, saw Captain America, like those early crossovers. The fact that Stan Lee is still appearing in these movies.
I know.
It's amazing. And I just heard he said that he was going to do his next three cameos at once, which means they're starting to bank his cameos.
Is that because he might be dying soon?
Well, he's 93. I mean, let's get them in the hole. They might as well just put him in.
He's 93?
Yes. He's a very youthful 93.
He is.
Giving what he said weight, though, do you guys think that we will ever see anything like this? I mean, he says no because of the lawyers, but do you think we could ever see some sort of DC Marvel crossover?
And I only say that because I was thinking about this today, and I'm kind of really caught up in DC's rebirth right now. And it just has me so nostalgic for... I read my old comics, and there were... Marvel DC crossovers like every year, like comics, and
yeah,
I forgot
who
it was Axel Alonso and Didio and those guys, but Marvel and DC do not talk now, comic side.
Oh yeah,
they're done. Yep. Like, and they used to remember there was Amalgam where they took a DC and Marvel character and they bashed them together and they created like a new superhero and they did like one shots on those, like once a year they did these great crossovers. And there is so much hate.
Well, they're on opposite coasts now. Now you got a real West Side, East Side, you know,
West Side
rap battle going on. But you know what? Quesada was just on Fat Man on Batman, and he like, you know, like the competition still goes. The good weeks, you know, both in the news, big for comics this week. A lot of people talking about the Captain America Steve Rogers reveal, and a lot of people talking about Rebirth. So I just think it's good that comics are in the news and people are reading them. Yeah. I mean, I love that Rebirth. I enjoyed the heck out of that comic more than like a lot of the 52 stuff.
What's in your drink today? I'm excited. You're so happy.
Hey, yeah, I'm happy.
I love it.
Yeah, but no, you're right. I think money, when it comes down to it, money and greed is probably going to keep it from. Yeah, because right now you have Marvel saying, well, hey, we have the conglomerate of money right now. We're making a lot more.
I got to tell you, I don't like these crossovers because what I like about comics and the movies is getting so invested in the world. And when you do that one-shot crossover stuff, it just means a lot less.
Mm-hmm. You're talking the comics?
Yeah, just in general. So, I mean, I would think that it would be the same kind of thing in the movies. Like, it just doesn't mean a lot. I got, you know, Batman and Captain America teaming up and Superman versus the Hulk. Yeah. But it doesn't feel like you're in the world. And what I like is the investment in the world. You know, like, that's what it's like your stories. It's the soaps, except with punching. That's what they are. All right. That's why with the Captain America thing, it's like, guys, they're soap operas. All My Children has done that many times. Sure. It's all good.
One Life to Live, General Hospital, yeah. Plus Charles, all things I watched every
with
day.
More spandex and more punchy kicky.
And pro wrestling. Those are my
same idea. Stories. Exactly. Yeah. Same idea.
A lot of swerves. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. Let's get to BVS Ultimate Cut details. First off, I want to say give the details and then watch the trailer. How about that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Nobody else was saying it.
Good energy. No, good energy.
Go off on Roxy's call.
I appreciate you. Sure. I appreciate you. All right, so we got both posters we're going to get. We got a 3D and 2D Blu-ray discs and ultraviolet digital copy. Target is going to release an exclusive digibook packaging, a 64-page book featuring content, and it's going to have the theatrical and extended cuts. So,
cool.
I don't know what the price
is. This one doesn't seem like retailer exclusives per se that are great.
What?
Target usually does, like, I usually buy my DVDs at Target only because they usually will get exclusive, like a special disc with behind-the-scenes stuff on it. They did that with Mission Impossible. It was like 60 minutes of behind-the-scenes stuff. So this one, it doesn't seem like any retailer's getting anything great other than different packaging.
Sure.
The Target's getting a book, but it's just a smaller version with, you know, a quarter of the art book.
They're ramping up for a big, you know, presentation for this, obviously the extended cut and all that we're going to talk about. But, like, you got to think that the luster is lost a little bit by the mediocre reception. Like, there's a lot less heat going into this, you know, into the home versions. I mean, like, if this was a film that was widely loved, I got to think that there'd be a lot more hype surrounding this.
Do they always release a trailer for an extended cut of something?
They don't always rate an extended cut. More often than not, if there is additional content, they just put it out as unrated. So I find it very interesting. Why did they go to the trouble of having it R-rated? Because usually extended cut is just unrated, and then you can do what you want because it's not getting a theatrical release.
Because they're trying to tell people, like, all right, this is for you. If you didn't like this because it wasn't dark and gritty enough for you.
I agree with you.
Some sensuality. I agree with you. Doggy style.
And a lot more soups, apparently, right?
I disagree with that. I think this is the movie that, like, okay, the big problem is, for me, the Africa stuff in the beginning. It's like, he saves Lois, and then it's like, hey, they're going to hold trial on you.
Are you not talking about the trailer, or are you talking about what we saw from the movie?
I'm talking about everything. Okay. Should we watch the trailer first, then?
Yeah. Yeah,
let's get into the trailer.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's get into the trailer.
Let's make it happen.
Who is that?
That was Adam?
I know that was me.
Men with power obey neither policy nor principle. No one is different. No one is neutral.
This VO not in the film, right?
If Superman were here, what would you want to say to him?
That my family too had dreams.
Yeah.
That's not in the movie.
And ask him how he decides.
None of these images are. And
that was not. That's a huge right there.
Which ones do not?
Yeah,
that's not the movie.
See, there you go. There's a lot of stuff.
Not in the movie.
June 29th.
Not in the movie.
Is that what it
said? Yeah. Not in the movie.
The lottery ticket?
Yeah, that little thing. Not he's angry and he's hunting.
Kill those men if that's what they think.
Not in the movie.
This is what makes you such a good reporter. Stuff
Jenna,
that stuff.
Jenna Malone.
Definitely. Oh my God.
Wow. Older now than my father.
Wait, this line.
This may be the only thing I do that matters.
So falls the house of...
Whoa, he's at the Wayne Manor? We didn't see that, did we?
Yeah, that...
But we did see a little
bit. But not the line without
powerful. He cannot be ugly.
The world only
it's your favorite, Lex Luthor.
If you force it to.
Men like that, words don't stop.
Well, they did a great job of
this
showing
is not footage. That's not in either.
That girl wasn't.
Yeah.
That girl wasn't.
She got some prison hair.
That dream is all some people
I got
have.
Some lotion for you.
I don't know, man. Hope. I'm stoked for this.
Now God is good as dead.
Does this, obviously they can't show too much R-rated, but what part of this that we're seeing, I'm curious.
We have to.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a big thing people had a problem with, and it was a little jarring for me, was the Africa stuff. He saves Lois, and then the next scene, she's like, they're going to hold trial on you. We don't understand, like, how did all the Africans die in that village? This is huge. That Africa stuff is huge in this movie. You see the drones going in with missiles and all that happens. Then you see the repercussions because the lady that was testifying in D.C., she's being interviewed on news. I mean, that scene with him outside, because everyone's like, oh, he's standing there in the fire after the Senate blows up and then it's over. Well, that's him walking outside with people around him, like, and he looks at Lois. I think this is going to give people... You know, when you're making a film and you got to cut it down, when they said the film was originally 4 hours long, your pacing sacrifices, it gets choppy. I think this is the film we should have been given originally.
We got an extra 30 minutes, right?
You know, yeah. You got money execs in a three-hour film. And
if that's the case, then I certainly take a lot more of the blame for the mediocre reception off of Zack Snyder, yeah. Because I know it was a team effort and the executives and everyone, and there's universe building. If that's the case, then what they put out, you know, you can only really judge on what they put out on in the theaters. I mean, right. Because
not
that's...
not on what's the cutting room floor look at, or what's in the DVD.
Yeah, and Eisenberg and... Irons have been saying it was muddled, this and that, because they were on set, they were filming, yeah. They knew what got cut, you know, after they saw the movie. And then there's the scenes of Clark actually doing report of work looking for Batman, yeah. That yeah. Scene where he's trying to give the guy with the clue at the bat symbol, he scratches on his scratcher. It's like, there's so much there.
I'm just still confused about what we were talking about earlier, this being announced as R-rated. When we're watching this, I'm like, but what? What part?
Well, they're not going to show you in that trailer.
I know they're not, but what they're showing us is what it is that they're going to show us, the scenes they're going to show us. So
it's
even
more
extending
violent.
Those.
It's more violent.
They
it's
say
more,
the warehouse scene is really violent.
Yeah.
More so than
which
the
is
movie.
Exciting.
And that's what bumps it up to the R-rated, just
you'd be surprised
the violence?
Between...
Yeah.
Between something that is, like Kill Bill, that movie, the second one, I believe it was, or the first one, that escaped its rating because they took the scenes and made it black and white. It was still the same, but red blood, if you turn it black and white, is no longer R-rated.
So
it's
weird.
PG-13. The censors are so... It's so asinine what is R and what is PG-13.
Here's actually a tweet from Larry Fong, who's the BVS cinematographer.
Oh.
I like this. He goes... Those of you who are fans will dig it. If you hated it, you'll still hate it.
That's great. I saw people responded to that.
All right.
Good. I think that's a great, great response. Yeah. Hey, I get no problem with the cinematography of this film. Mm-mm. You know, the movie looks great. My biggest problems with the film are characterizations of the two leads that I feel like are departures. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit because I feel like with Superman, there's a big challenge there. It's like, how do you make him relevant to the modern world, right? And I know that they made a choice. Not everybody agrees with the choice. I don't necessarily agree with the choice. Mm-hmm. You have a similar problem with Captain America, right? And you could say that they made choices to change Captain America and that he's more questioning the government. With Superman, you went darker with him. Okay, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. My biggest problem with Batman was that scene when he's saying things like, you're not a man, you never were a man. I'm like, when did he become this like frat boy kind of, high school bully jock? That to me is not characteristic. Now, the issue about the excessive violence of Batman, which was a little bit addressed in the film, and then in this trailer... They address that more. See, that to me could have been cleared up more by focusing on that more, that he's acting out of character. Then I buy it more. But it was just a few passing references.
Have you thought of this? The line, because someone was talking to me on Twitter about this, the line of 20 years in Gotham, how many good men are left? How many stay that way? What if he's talking about himself?
Right.
That's great. Yeah, I always think about that line.
And the branding,
he
was never branding anyone before this movie. He
no,
starts branding them in this
totally,
movie.
Totally, totally.
I think we're missing some... key things that got
that are going
aside.
To be cleared up.
I agree.
I think
I'm
so.
I'm stoked. I think that extra 30 minutes is going to really play into
to
it.
To me, the biggest problems with Batman's characters are that kind of like, you're not a man. You don't know what it's like to be a man. Batman would never say that. And also, you know, when they confront each other, he seems so, you know, just ignoring any logic, which is like his brain is so tight.
And how are we, let's talk Jenna Malone in this movie. It looks like she's wearing a wig and glasses. We were talking about, some people online said Cat Grant she is. What if she's working for Bruce undercover to get information on Superman?
Yeah, I love that. And I still think that Eastwood is going to be
working. Oh, I hope so.
I really believe it.
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
I do, because I think he's the perfect age.
Oh, I want to believe that.
And
why
I think he's
think
the
so?
Perfect look.
I don't think they would go that
I do.
Intricate with it.
I do, especially with the old. Listen,
know.
And I'm not usually a fan
know.
Of Batman
this movie
having a whole
was
team.
So intricate to begin with, though.
But we're talking this movie.
Check
we're not
this out,
Suicide
though.
Squad.
But
I
the
know.
Older
I
Batman,
right.
I could see him having some more soldiers.
Yeah,
I really love the idea of it, especially since with the news that like he is Jason Todd. If that dead Robin is Jason Todd, then no, I don't need to see a Red Hood right away. But I do need to see a Dick
the
Grayson.
The thing that makes
there.
Me is that Bruce. Affleck was on set of Suicide Squad in his Bruce Wayne wig and suit and stuff. So that to me is like, okay, I get Batman being in it, arresting Joker, Harley Quinn, whatever. But so the fact that he's there as Bruce Wayne, maybe talking to Dick Grayson somewhere, that to me, like he wouldn't meet Waller as Bruce Wayne. I don't know why Bruce Wayne would be in this movie, unless it's to talk to Grayson.
Yeah. I
somewhere.
Really think that that's a thing that's happening.
I hope so.
I really think
one thing I need to say about the movie, and again, this is a point of contention with everyone, the Martha bit.
Oh
yeah.
Someone posted to me the closed caption version.
Right.
And it's crappily edited. the way that they did it, he's saying he's got Martha Kent. He's not saying he's got Martha. He's not like my mom's name. He's telling him this is this person he's got. But the way that it's edited and they're putting Bruce Wayne talking over and grunting, to me, that is a small change that makes more sense. If he's saying he's got this woman, Martha Kent.
No, that makes less sense.
You mean he has her?
He has
Martha Kent.
Hate to pick on you here, but that makes less sense.
Why?
Because if he says Martha, then he could think he's talking, Bruce could think he's talking about his mother. But if he says Martha Kent, why did you say that name? It
because
doesn't
he says
hit him as
person,
personally.
Person, I have to find this person.
Agree to disagree. All right. I don't buy that. I think it actually makes less sense.
The Martha thing is still haunting me in my freaking sleep right now.
It's not,
you know. Did the random Tony Stark's mother bother you in Civil War?
I didn't see it yet, damn it.
Well,
that's on you, brother. That's been out for a long time.
That's been on you.
I literally have not
had time. Hey, we're not going to get into that. It's over and done.
I literally have not had time to see that.
We're over and done.
People in chat roll are saying it is confirmed to be Jason Todd. I mean, as far as I know, the only confirmation is from a tour guide.
No, I'm not taking that tour guide BS. I mean, I'm not. I work with tour guides. I've been a tour guide for Universal. You can say whatever you want on those tours.
Yeah.
The Psycho House that is on that property, we're told to say it is the original Psycho House. It's not the original Psycho House. It was used for Psycho 3. Do not buy what
Psycho
a tour guide...
Psycho 3, my favorite of the series,
but... do not buy what a tour guide says on a tour. It's not...
I wonder if you got canned.
Okay, aside from the tour guide being confirmation or not, do you think it's Jason Todd's suit?
I don't know. But seeing it up close, there's no bullet holes in it like everyone talks about. Yeah. I don't know if it was lighting or weird something, but on that suit, there are no bullet holes right here.
I wonder if he got canned for saying that.
He won't because it wasn't a big deal. It's like...
You know?
Yeah.
Those tour guides, they can say whatever they want. There's no...
Johnny, it's your
word. Well, listen, I will say this. While I do have problems with the characterization of both Batman and Superman in this film, I'm very hopeful that when Superman comes back from the dead, spoilers, he's dead, then we have an opportunity to play with perspective.
And Batman is now going to be different as well.
Here's a great comment from Gregory Castillo in chat roll. Girdler versus Christmas, ultimate cut.
That's right.
I'm in on it.
All right, Roxy, I know you're going to be excited about this, I think.
What's up, Johnny?
Jesse Eisenberg confirmed at MCM London Comic Con this week that Lex Luthor will be in Justice League. Here is his quote, and then I will pass the floor to you.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in a waiting pattern. They just started filming Justice League, so I'm kind of just waiting for my crack at it. I don't know what I'm allowed to say, because I feel like there's probably some drone following me from DC, and if I say anything wrong, I get, you know, picked off. But I love it, and I love everyone who's in it. It's a really talented group of people.
He's just like a tour guide. Not allowed to say anything.
Nope.
Like Mikey Christmas.
Well, he's learned his lesson, right?
Yeah. You know, I know some people have major issues with him. He was one of my favorite parts of the film. I thought he nailed it. I'm excited to see this. I never doubted that he would be in Justice League. So this was just confirmation of something that I was pretty positive about already.
Yeah.
It
would have been silly if he wasn't in it, because he really introduces the concepts of it.
If he wasn't going to be in it, it would have been what we were talking about now. Everybody trying to course correct. There would have been some weird thing going on, because I think even the people who are fans of this movie didn't tend to like Jesse Eisenberg in this, like you Mikey Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But
I admired what he did. I think it was something different.
And there were parts that there were literally scenes that I liked with him, and then scenes that I thought were so off the rails.
Up until he went to the Kryptonian ship, I was on board with him. And
I love when he's walking, that shot of his shoes, and he's walking down with the briefcase. I love that.
This
I want him with the candy.
Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
I just want Jolly Rancher
from Jesse. I even love when he's kind of giving the speech at the party. But I don't love the rooftop stuff.
After the Kryptonian ship.
Exactly.
And as long could as this have... be fixed in the Ultimate Cut? Is there stuff in that Kryptonian ship? We know of the scene with Steppenwolf in there.
Mm-hmm.
So will it explain?
I'd like to hope there's something more Jesse Eisenberg in there that would explain the switch. Speaking of, breaking news that we've had, The Flash now has a director. I already forgot how to pronounce his last name.
We rehearsed it too.
Fumiawa.
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 Yeah.
Yes, he was the director of the film
Dope
that
one
came
of the best
out
movies of last year.
About a year ago, yeah.
It was a huge movie last year. Big, critical darling. A critical darling it was last year.
I wouldn't
year.
Say it's a huge movie, but yeah, critical darling.
As far as being so small,
because
it came
out shot on all iPhones, and that gave it a lot of cred.
It was?
I would say
that.
It's
yeah.
as big
but it's a
film.
Good movie.
Something like that with no, or all natural light, no, mostly on phones. There was some crazy thing about the way that it was shot.
It is as big a film for the superhero superhero genre as cake is for women in superhero films. I would think that's fair to say.
What?
That's a callback to some old Roxy Stryer stuff.
Really old. You know,
and still Alice.
What did I miss? Yeah. Is that from before my time?
Boom! Yeah.
But I will tell you guys that, little tangent, I'm really bummed about Dope because I wanted to see Dope and they offer it on every single airplane. But when I get on the airplane to watch it, I tweeted out saying, should I see Dope? And everybody says, you can't watch it on the airplane. They cut out two scenes that make the movie what it is. You won't be able to understand what's happening on it. So
really?
I have yet to see Dope. Oh,
I have
Netflix?
Do you
have Netflix?
Do you want to rent it or something and watch it?
Yeah.
Go to Blockbuster?
I think I have the screener of it.
You do?
The word screener,
yeah,
I think so.
It's stupid that I haven't seen it yet, but I hear amazing things. What do you guys think about him directing The Flash? Interesting choice. Dope is obviously a very different tone.
Up and comer.
So we have the Lord and Miller treatment for the film, the script by Graham Smith, right? The guy that was originally attacked to direct it. And now this guy being brought on. I mean, I gotta be positive about it. If things are moving forward...
Oh, sorry, guys. Tangerine was the one that was shot like that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
You know, it's an interesting choice. Like, yeah, up-and-coming filmmaker. Dope is a real character piece. Flash, you want to have a lot of character. You got to buy into the world of this guy. It's a real... There's going to be a quirky humor to the film that we already, you know, kind of got from what we saw in BVS. I loved the Flash in BVS. Like, I like that little bit of characterization. I thought he brought a lot to so little screen time that I'm very encouraged. So I think this is good news. I mean, you know, until it's bad news, it's good news.
Well, Roxy, we'll go get Dope at Blockbuster. We'll find him when it's open. We'll
rent it. You think you're existing in the time of the music that the lead character liked.
Yeah, Blockbuster's on Earth 1. Yeah, we'll go to Earth 1 and find a Blockbuster.
That's funny. The character is obsessed with the 90s and 90s hip hop.
Yeah.
So it's
so
like,
am I. It's
that
me.
Was also around the rise of Blockbuster Video. So
essentially me. They enjoy it. They're all me. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, good stuff there. We're looking forward to seeing how it plays out. And that just dropped about 2 hours ago. So party on. Jeremy Irons, we already mentioned this earlier in the show. He didn't mince words when talking about BVS. He says,
I was surprised that he came out this strongly with
it. You know, he's Jeremy Irons.
I love it. He's an old British actor. He's allowed to say whatever the heck he wants.
And he's really good.
I kind of appreciate this rather than him saying, I don't know what people thought. I thought the film was fine. You know, like, he's like, well, rightly so. It's a bit muddled, you know. He's like, well, I'm signed up for the Batman, which is good because
I think Johnny was going to read the quote.
Yeah, no. I've got it quite interpreted here, you know. Not that I need to get money, but it's good to have it keep ticking over.
Do you want to do it in
know?
Michael Caine voice?
That's it.
You can read the quote.
That's not Michael Caine.
Okay, sorry.
He would be insulted. Just,
can you do a British accent, though, and read it?
No, I can't do a British accent.
I can do it.
Every time I try and do British, it comes out as Michael Caine.
Right there.
Hello, governor.
Perfect. That's all I want.
What?
Deservedly so. I mean, it took 800
million. No.
So the kicking didn't matter, but it was sort of overstuffed. It was very muddled.
Are you having a laugh? Are you having a laugh at me?
I think
just
the next one will be simpler. The script is certainly a lot smaller. It's more linear.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So I like what he said, you know, because it's fair. But
oh my Lord.
Do you think you know, what people were sort of hanging on was he's like, well, I'm tied into the Batman. So people have taken that to mean like that's confirmation of the title of the solo film. I took it more as just that he's tied into the Batman universe, meaning like this film and the next film. Meaning
we
Justice
need to
League
stop and... taking what people say literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a huge thing. I'm not segueing real quick.
What do you mean by that, Mike?
Okay, great example. The guy that's doing the Power Rangers film about a week ago said, you know what, we're going to make these. I can see us doing six or seven of these.
Right.
Every, you know, heroic Hollywood, Power Rangers making six or seven movies. Going to make six Power... No, he said, well, we're going to make... Yeah. I can see us doing six or seven of these. And now they retracted. And it's like...
Yeah.
It's an interview. The guy's talking. Like, this guy... We can't take everything these guys say as that's
But what do you
called.
Take about the tone of what he said? Does that bother you? Or do you think, because I know you're like a sports guy, do you think he should back the franchise no matter what? Or do you think it's fair of him to speak his mind?
He filmed his movie. He knew what got cut. He's like, well, what we filmed wasn't what we saw on the
That's not
screens.
What he said. That's not what he said.
He's saying it's muddled.
Yeah.
So what they filmed, he knew.
That's not what he said.
You think when he's sitting there making the movie, they're sitting there doing lines like, oh, this is muddled, guys. Can we work this out?
No.
It
the movie was
perfectly.
Muddled.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
I don't know that that's true. I'm just saying you can't. Take a quote that he didn't say.
Right.
You're interpreting something that he didn't say. He said the movie was muddled. He didn't say that what we shot was perfect. He doesn't refer to what they shot. So, again, you know?
So you think he was making the movie the whole time going, oh, this is shit. It's muddled. Why is it going to go up on the big screen?
I think it's really hard to see when you're in the trenches. Yeah. I think it's hard when you're filming this to be like, ooh, maybe this isn't good. That's not what an actor's job is. An actor's job is to do their job and be in character.
And your actor's job is to know your entire script, and you've got it in front of you, and you know from point A to point B where your character goes. If from point A to point B...
Yeah, but what your character does in a script and what the script looks like isn't necessarily how it's shot or what it looks like on
camera.
That's
what I'm saying. It's out of his...
We'll have to have this conversation after June 29th, but I'm saying I do think it was muddled in the production. That's the point of view that I'm taking, is that it was muddled because they, when the film that they started evolved as they went, and it was muddled. Well, I think it was muddled all over the place, and I think that's... So if we see the film on the 28th and we're like, wow, that was perfect, that make perfect sense, then, you know, great. Then we can... And I'll be like, wow, you know what? That's the one that they should have put out.
I think also when they made the film originally, I do think they knew they were going to have to cut it to a certain time. That's my guess. That one comment.
Of course. I mean, I think it's clear that you're not gonna find the greatest success putting out a 3-hour film. But you know what? Zack Snyder said that it was the studio that gave him carte blanche. He said that it was him that wanted to cut the film more. Zack Snyder is the one that said, and you go back and look at this quote, he said that the original cut was way longer, and it was really him that wanted to cut it. That, I mean, at least that's what he inferred, that it wasn't the studio that insisted that he cut it.
I guess once we see Ultimate Cut, we'll decide if that was a good decision or not, because I think people would have been fine with a half hour.
You know, what's so interesting is that the entire chat wants us to move on from this, but I feel like this is one of our only pieces of news from
They just want to see us love each other.
What do you guys
want?
You want to talk about TV shows that didn't air so the UK is actually caught up? I mean, what else are we going to do?
We got the list here. We got the list.
Now, here's a story.
Yeah, okay, let's go on the list.
So, Stephen Amell was on Larry King Now. Stephen Amell, hello.
That's good.
Thank you.
I thought mine was really good, and none of you guys gave me the credit that
your
I deserved.
Your English was
so
good.
Now I will
you
not
can
be
go back and
credit.
Watch the playback on this episode. Look
now
at my face
not
during
be
your English
credit
accent.
Where credit is due elsewhere, because I did not get what I deserved.
I think Larry King is fantastic. Continue, Larry.
His name is Stephen Amell from CW Green Arrow. Hello. What do you have to say? Well, what did he say? He said, I've spoken with people within DC, and they said there's no plan to bring Green Arrow to the cinematic universe, but things change.
So. Okay. This is no surprise.
What Stephen Amell, I know we'll talk about Willa Holland, what she comes out and says, what Grant Gustin has come out and said, what all the CW people have come out and said, is that they're frustrated. And I understand it. They're frustrated that they weren't cast in the movies. They're frustrated that these universes are not tied together. They're frustrated that their characters may or may not be being seen on the big screen. There's like a lot of different levels to this.
Are they
and I get it. What?
I'm just wondering if they're frustrated when they cash their series regular paychecks and have steady work for 10 months out of the year.
I'm not saying that they're right.
I don't think so.
I'm not saying they're right. I'm saying I get it. I get Stephen Amell, who is sitting there because everybody is still upset when this article comes up. Everybody's like, oh, remember back in the day when he stood up for Grant Gustin when The Flash was cast and they didn't cast Barry Allen as Grant Gustin, and Stephen Amell came out and said, you guys should have picked Grant Gustin. Now, I understand what he was doing. I think that it was a sweet sentiment. What he was doing was also setting himself up so if there was a Green Arrow in the universe, it wasn't like, I should be the Green Arrow. It was like, we all should have been all of those roles. But at the same time, this is a decision that the DC cinematic universe is making, or the DCEU, I guess, because it's including the TV universe. This is the decision. So they made this decision. It's not like they're including Grant Gustin, but they're not including Stephen Amell. It's not like they're including Stephen Amell, but not Grant Gustin. They made this choice. It's on a different Earth, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. I'm fine with the decision. I mean,
I'm fine with it, too.
TV actors, there's film actors. Some people can obviously do both.
You're not going to see Chris Evans popping up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a 5-minute cameo.
Well, we did.
You know Chris Evans?
Well, in, like, flashbacks and scenes.
That
was
already filmed and they clipped it.
First,
He did not walk onto the set at ABC Studios with his Captain America outfit to film it.
No.
Look at a perfect example is Jamie Alexander. Look at her when she's on Thor.
Didn't look
beautiful
right,
costume. This expensive. They show up on S.H.I.E.L.D. She looked like somebody bought a party supermarket. It's like you can't.
I agree, but
you can't do it,
guys. I'm gonna make everyone
Sam
happy
Jackson
and
did.
Really,
cool.
really agree with Mike Kalinowski here. I've always said that this was a bad idea. I never thought it. Just like the tone and the look and the feel are so different. Like. I just don't think anybody here knows what they're talking about.
No,
like,
I don't.
And while I like that the Netflix Marvel is in the same world as the cinema Marvel, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel, I think it feels really... It just the look just looks totally wacky. It just doesn't feel like the same world.
So you're saying the Netflix world does, though.
No, I was watching... I'm probably on my seventh been watching of Daredevil Season 2. It's probably my favorite thing Marvel has done. But now, after watching that in Civil War, I cannot see Charlie Cox on an Avengers movie.
Could you see Rosario Dawson?
Nope.
You could not see her coming in on an Avengers movie.
It's different. It is different. The tone of like Civil War, it's like things are blowing up, but it's fun and we're having fun and the stakes. It's just a different vibe they've created.
Well, don't tell
And the directors, Russo brothers, have now said, you know, it's tough. I don't know if we can make it work anymore. Right.
The Marvel TV and Marvel Comics are now in the same sort of pocket, and the studio is totally different. And this is also from that same Quesada interview. Like, Quesada will talk about the TV, which Loeb runs, right? And then the comics. And yes, different. They're still affiliated, but Marvel Studios is totally separate right now.
I don't disagree. I do not disagree.
Mike, Johnny, what were you going to say?
You know who does disagree? Willa Holland from Arrow.
That's okay, go ahead.
Yeah, she had some crazy choice words this week. She says, it was annoying at first, and then when Steven found out there was going to be a Justice League movie, it only seemed rightly so that he should be playing Green Arrow on as well as Grant playing Flash. It seemed like the right normal answer. Once they said no, you can't really fight against them for it because they are the people that gave us the job in the first place. You have to sit on your hands and be like, okay, I get it. And then she also said Suicide Squad pretty much ruined Harley Quinn for the show as well as their Arkham Asylum. So she's... To me, this is someone I don't know how well she knew what.
I gotta say, I'm really contradicting myself right here because I want to hear Jeremy Irons talk about that stuff, and I want this girl to shut the hell up.
Right.
And maybe that's just because Jeremy Irons has earned that respect over like a 35-year career, and like I don't know who this person is. She's like a mediocre actress at best, who's really lucky to be a series regular on this show.
Very talented actress.
Okay, that's your opinion.
My guess is she didn't know the world before she got the job, and so she doesn't really quite get it on that level, is my guess.
Again, guys, you're thinking about this too big. You have a job. They have a job. Now, their job is to be on this TV show, and they see opportunity to be in the movies, and they think, we could do that. And you think, all right, this is my co-star. He shows up to work every day. I want to fight for him. I don't think she's legitimately a DC person who, right, like, we can sit down and be like, well, she knows what she's talking about. She's thinking about what's best for this universe. She's thinking about her co-star. She's thinking about getting him a job.
That's all it is.
Right. So again, like I said, I get it. I get what they're doing, and I appreciate what they're doing for each other. Now, is it the right move? I don't think so. Especially Willa Holland, who I do think is a very talented actress, but is clearly the most mentally checked out human being.
Cal-El fan 49 says, Amel sucked in T-Men 2, and ex-Shiny Diver X says, Adam, stop being a jackass.
Yeah. I heard Amel's like the best thing in the movie. I heard he's like charismatic and like it brings a lot of fun to the movie.
Look, everything's subjective. Everything's subjective.
Okay, I'll say this. Amel... Could I see him 5 years from now, longer hair, a goatee, showing up as a Green Arrow in the cinematic universe? I could see that, sure. But the CW Arrow thing, he would not fit with Ben Affleck on the big screen.
Okay, take Amel out of it. Do you want to see Green Arrow in the films?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio, throw a goatee on him. There's Green Arrow, Oliver Queen, right there, done.
Cameo, or you legitimately want that, like...
He should be in it. He's part of the league. Hmm. He's in there.
Okay.
Sylvia Love says, Gustin don't even do Comic-Cons.
What? I don't think that's true.
Wasn't he at the last one?
I don't know. I just randomly picked a comment and said it.
All right. Hey, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, okay then. Russell Crowe actually said this week, after he was being interviewed by someone, he said, talking about Superman movies that were supposed to happen prior to, well, BVS, I guess. He said, there were a number of Superman movies, but I think they made the decision to jump past those and go to the idea of Batman and Superman in the same film. And you might remember back in October 2014, right before the show started, Warner Brothers did say there would be a new Superman solo film. So I guess they kind of... he signed on for a bunch of movies.
Russell Crowe makes me giggle.
Did you see Nice Guys?
Oh, he's awesome. I've heard
so many weird things about him. People that are like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Like sex things?
No, a disaster to work with.
Oh.
Yeah, no, and I don't think very positive things about him, but I think he's a great performer. And listening to him
talk. Do you guys think he'll be back? Do you think we'll see Jor-El in any capacity?
He signed on for stuff. I mean,
I feel like we will. Possibly in that trippy resurrection situation. Like, we don't know how Superman's coming back.
Nope.
Okay? I could certainly see some sort of Jor-El ghost kind of thing. Like, if he's going to be with the name for the thing in the Fortress of Solitude?
Helix.
Yeah. Either there's also the other thing that he was, like, locked inside the Matrix or something.
The
birthing chamber.
The Codex.
The Codex.
Is that thing we're talking about?
I'm thinking about the one from the comics that, Helix. Like, he was actually... Okay.
Elrond.
Elrond, yes.
Elrond was in there.
Was that?
Elrond.
I don't know. I think, do you guys think we're going to see Russell again? I do think we'll see him in some kind of trippy sequence.
Even during Man of Steel, he was so, I've heard mixed stories about him. From also working as a guide for
From CEOs. Russell?
Yeah. Some people say when he takes trips with his family, he shies away from people. And then other people said, nope, he'll see people. And they're like, you want a picture? Come on over. And he'll take the camera and take a picture with them. It just depends on his mood that day.
Well, he's a smoker. Maybe when he's trying to give up smoking.
I remember during Man of Steel, he was so into this movie and wanting to promote it and talk about it. And he loved it. So I think I think he's disappointed he didn't get his second film. I would have loved to have seen a Michael Shannon him movie of Zod and Jor-El before Kal-El. I would love to have seen that on Krypton. Mm. That's a movie.
Well, that's maybe they're both going to be on the sci-fi show. That's definitely something that could happen.
Yeah, oh, those two actors are going to pop on Sci-Fi Channel.
But yeah, they're assigned to the full season.
Oh, yeah, you know, Charlie Hunnam. He would make a great Oliver Queen.
You know what we haven't gotten to yet? Suicide Squad posters.
Oh, yeah, posters.
Let's go squad.
Let's break up all this yapping and check out some cool posters.
For the rest of that episode, I'm just talking my British accent.
So, I love
just
that.
Just going to do it for the rest of the time.
Did you hear this? Somebody just said they heard Tom Welling was trying to get Tom Welling to guest as the actual Superman.
I think that would be great.
Supergirl? On Supergirl or in something.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, look at this poster.
First things first, you got everyone on there. Solid.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. We'll just run down the. There you go. So this someone in chat roll just mentioned that this is Jason Todd Jokerized. That's what someone in chat roll. A couple people have said.
Oh, that is trolling.
Well, yeah, that's not. Please.
I'm just saying that's what they're saying.
That does not true until it's true.
What kind of bat stance is that? How's she holding that bat?
I don't know. I was thinking that.
How's she holding that bat?
No, she's holding it like she's going to poke you. Poke you.
She's holding it just so you could read the good night. Okay. That's the best book.
She's about to do something. There's dead shot.
All right. Mm. I like with the mask on.
Oh, yeah.
Give me the mask.
And lastly, the
we can't keep the mask on too long,
K-W-A-D.
Though.
Right.
No, it's Will Smith. That's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
You got to show that mug.
Money face, yeah.
Did you guys see, I think it was Empire Magazine, it was the Joker, and they had those, I don't know what they're on desks, and it's a little ball, and you pick it up, and it smacks back and forth, and he's going like this, and it's Harley, and the rest are there.
Cool.
I think it's Empire Magazine, it just came out recently. It's so good looking. Cool. But it's him with the Harley showing that's the wrecking ball, and it caused all the problems.
Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm. Posters are cool. This is the kind of thing that when I go to the movies and I start to see these, I'm going to get really, really excited. And you know what, guys? It's like, in a month, we're going to start hearing about actual screenings of this movie, too.
Because
it'll be July.
There was a screening.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We did hear the early screenings.
But the tweets. That's
right.
Out.
That's right. Yeah, I don't.
I know, but we're going to start to hear from people that we actually know
and trust,
and that's different. Yeah.
I don't believe in those because you know.
Then I don't have to make up the tone in which people tweeted things out, like I did with Adam last week.
Right. No, like I said, there's no reason to be anything but positive until there's a reason to be anything other than that. And, give it to me, Mikey.
Remember we talked about reshoots on this movie, and everyone's like more fun, this and that. And if you notice the tone online, there have been Rogue One, massive reshoots happening and being said to add more fun because it's not, but no one's talking about it.
Hmm.
I mean, the little bit, but it wasn't the murmurs that this movie got. I hate that.
I'll tell you why. And here's why. First of all, they're coming off a really well received film.
Okay. So it's the goodwill factor.
It's goodwill. All right. Goodwill goes a long way.
I'll step back then.
I will say, like, one of the things I was excited about Rogue One is that it was going to be like this.
The
like,
darkness.
Right. And they're hedging their bet, maybe. But
I think they're
that
like.
That might be the right call. Because
I think that them seeing it going, oh, this doesn't fit like Episode 7. Yeah. This is different.
Gareth Edwards.
I think everyone wants is this different, so Suicide Squad.
I don't think of Gareth Edwards as having like a light tone with like humor. Godzilla's pretty dire.
Yeah.
The Monsters movie was kind of dire.
But again, reshoots are common. They really got on top of this going, we are adding more fun.
But the Rogue One thing is they're saying the executives are not happy.
Suicide Squad, that was not. Wasn't ever said. No. They were just said, we hear rumors that it's a mess and we're putting more fun, but no one ever came out and said it's...
Again, I attribute that to the Will thing.
Can we go back to this poster for a second?
Please.
Because in the chat, Shiny Diver said, laugh my ass off, they put the women in the background. Lame. I hadn't even noticed that, but it is very true.
I was a little surprised. Maybe it just depends.
The fact that Harley's in the background. I can understand the other two, but Harley being in the background.
That is kind of weird. I mean, I believe that's where women belong, but I mean, that's weird that you would want to put a big star so far back there.
Send all your email and complaints to Adam Gertler.
I get the crap that I get sometimes.
Well, because I obviously know he's kidding. Goodwill.
No, everybody knows him. Did they just kill my microphone?
I think you're out. We're going to have the trap door set for you.
I find it interesting how Enchantress almost looks like she's trying to sneak out of the photo. She's like, I don't know, that's a good...
Like, out or down from the photo. So Enchantress is like...
Just off to the right. Just so
I think the ladies are going to play a huge part in this movie. I think those three will be bigger than Slipknot...
Diablo.
Rick Flag, Diablo. I think they're going to be bigger than him in this movie. I think it was
you
just
think, I think Diablo and Slipknot definitely don't make it out of this film
dying.
Alive.
Slipknot's dying in the first 20
minutes. I think Captain
minutes.
Boomerang is definitely making it in the film because like he's going to show up in the Flash movie, I think.
Yeah. Croc's staying alive.
Enchantress could also die, possibly.
I think Enchantress is definitely going.
I think Katana's sticking around.
I think Katana's sticking around. We know Deadshot's definitely sticking around.
Because I don't think Katana's even going to be that huge of a role.
So I still feel like... I don't know how the plot for the Suicide Squad runs concurrent with the Joker story. Like, I still feel those are like separate
stories.
He's
the loose cannon.
They're like concurrent.
I don't know.
I like how little we know about
the
plot of this film.
2 months away?
About two months.
Well, August, just about August 5th.
Ah. Okay.
We're almost there.
Next.
James Wan was quoted this week talking about how to manage the expectations of DC fans. Obviously, we know Aquaman comes out July 27th, 2018, so we have over 2 years to wait. But he said, I think it's a world that is so difficult to control, and always expectations of fans are out of this world, right? No pun intended. I know how hard it is for making Conjuring 2, how much anticipation there is just from the first movie. I think you do the best you can and tell the best story you can.
Relating Aquaman to Conjuring.
But yeah. Just imagine the small scale that I think what he's saying is like, on the small scale of these two movies,
He didn't want to diminish Conjuring 2, but he's saying like, this is what it's like on Conjuring 2. Imagine what it's
exactly.
like. Yeah, which is, I think it was well phrased. And I do think the DC audience, and not just DC, Marvel, comic books in general, like, we're tough. It's tough. And managing the expectations. Yeah. So, yeah.
Have you guys seen Conjuring?
I'm not a horror fan.
Me neither.
It's terrifying.
But I want to see it. And because I just got a passes to go see The Conjuring 2.
Oh, boy.
So I really want to go see Conjuring, but is it really scary?
This one, The Conjuring 2, is based off of a true story and one of the most terrifying.
That's Patrick Wilson, right?
Hauntings that ever happened, yeah. Those kind of movies really hit too close to home for me because I'm a big paranormal geek and shit like that is but it's terrifying.
Juan is saying all the right stuff. He's in a good position. I feel like we heard him flex his muscles a couple of weeks ago, and now I think this is just me, this nerd over here interpreting, reading the tea leaves, but I feel like
tea leaves.
I'm reading the tea leaves and I feel like it could be crazy, and maybe I'm being an optimist
here. I'm excited now. What's going on?
I feel like he's happy with some of the internal changes that have happening and, like, what's going on producerially leading into his film.
I love that word, producerially.
Yeah, producerially.
You got John in the
mix. I feel like he was acting up a little bit, saying stuff, and now I feel like he's...
We got our Feige now.
He made that joke about, you know, like, oh, yeah, it's going to be way lighter. I'm going to put some cameras down there. You're going to put a lot of Leicos and lights down there.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this film.
And remember, there were rumors, and they're just rumors, that he was debating walking off, and there was
clearly
going
to me,
on.
The big, to
definitely
me,
clearly
but
rumors,
to me,
but I'm saying that this is him coming out
the
and
quote
saying,
when
like,
he was said, when he said, if I can make the kind of movie I want to make, it will be... Like, he was basically drawing a line in the sand there.
Right,
and
then
there were the rumors that he was going
to
walk away.
Well, my point is, I think right now he wants his name to be positively attached to this film. So he's talking about expectations.
Yes,
coming out
fair enough.
Movie. Hey, just to let you know, a lot of the chat wants to hear Mikey talk a little bit about Rebirth
some
point.
We're
going to get there. We're going to get there, guys.
Bruce Timm calls Killing Joke the darkest story yet. His quote is, probably the darkest story that has ever been told with those two characters up until that time. The idea of adapting the story always kind of terrified me because of how relentlessly grim and bleak it is, and what happens to Barbara Gordon in the story is still very controversial to this day. And to piggyback off that, Mark Hamill says, I hope people understand when they say it's R-rated, they mean it.
I'll take this one. Duh.
Yeah.
Like, duh, what we knew was happening.
This is like...
It's like almost a non-news... Yeah. Like, I was like, we know it's going to be this.
This is a dark story, not just because of violence, but because of the type of violence.
Sodomy.
And exactly.
Gross.
And
sodomy.
And real, real horrible stuff that goes on.
Branding irons and stuff from my
Did you hear that this... this story was delayed, the production, twice. Once because of the shooting that happened after Dark Knight Rises. Actually, first because of Watchmen, because of the lukewarm reception of Watchmen.
When they wanted to do it,
they wanted to do it other times. And then again after Dark Knight Rises because of the shooting. Huh. It's a really heavy story. And, like, listen, people, I don't dislike a dark tone. I like a dark tone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, especially with a Batman story.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a classic story, but it's not a crowd pleaser. So I give them a lot of props for even putting it out.
I give them props on all these animated films. They really, it seems like they do three a year. Two of them are set kind of in a new 52-ish
It's reaching world. A much smaller audience, though. You know what
but
I mean?
It's okay. Like, they don't spend
that
time.
That is okay. That it just means that they're it's going to be... You know, it's kind of like with the Captain America thing, like all these people reacting to the, because it was a news item.
Yeah.
And they're not comic book readers, and they're people that are familiar with Captain America and the movies. And
I read the comic book, and I was just like, oh, okay, it's a new story. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be really Hydra. It's a trick. In two issues, he'll reveal that he wasn't that. And, real quick, you mentioned Dark Knight Rises. There was a small little blurb. Mid-July, they're releasing the Nolan trilogy. They released a huge box set when Dark Knight Rises came out, when it had a huge hour and a half long documentary called The Fire Rises. That was only part of this $120 set. They never released before. They're releasing that, the DVDs. It's going to be like $22. I'm going to buy it myself because I never got that Blu-ray documentary. So that's out there. It's going to be coming soon. Just check
I actually
Amazon.
Don't have. I don't own Dark Knight Rises. Actually,
well, you buy this trilogy.
I'm going to get this
all
one.
All three,
yeah.
You know, and you get an hour and a half. This documentary was made for this film. It was
Dark
maybe
Knight.
Mikey Christmas will come and give it.
Oh ho ho ho!
Dark Knight was the first Blu-ray I ever bought. By the way,
really?
Oh yeah, couldn't wait for that.
All right, what else we got? Because I know we don't have much more time.
Well, really quick. I mean, do you want to hit TV time really fast, and then we'll talk Rebirth before we go?
Sure.
I mean, we have to at least play the song.
It's time for
Roxy Stratus
TV time. Sing along with me this time.
Roxy Stratus TV time.
She thinks that the Flash is fine. DC movie news, it's time to talk.
TV time. Okay, so it played, but I guess really what we should have done is talked about Willa Holland during TV time, and we already did.
Yeah, but we kind of
gone.
You know,
here's the deal: we already mentioned the only thing we have is Preacher. It's airing on Sundays. We didn't get an episode this past week. There was a talking Preacher. That's all we got. I'm really excited for the next episode.
But we can tie into with Legends of Tomorrow character corner, right?
Is that yeah, I finally caught up on my TV. Rex Tyler, popped up, who was part of the JSA Hourman. I'm going to go into character corner on him soon.
Cool.
I did not like the Flash finale. The final image of John Wesley Shipp in the suit got spoiled to me.
Mm-hmm. I thought it looked a little silly, too.
It looked really silly, but I still loved it. To me, what was better was him meeting Amanda Pays and saying, hey, I'm Henry Allen. Hi, I'm Tina McGee. That to me,
that was
to
cool.
McGee, right?
Yeah.
I was like, that to me, the chemistry, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it was
but
awesome.
I was so bummed and then he died because I kind of wanted them to have a little fling.
Yeah, I knew the Iron Mask, that wasn't a, it was a terrible, the way they shot it was a terrible reveal because you could tell because of his hair, you're like, what's Henry Allen?
Yeah, yeah.
I love Grant Gustin, I think he's a great actor, but he just whined. It's almost like, and I thought about it today, it's almost like a Mel for the first two seasons of Arrow. Okay, how stoic and dark is this guy going to be? And it's the way it's written, but he just seems like he's always like...
It's so interesting. I thought he nailed it.
So no, I'm not saying he's a great actor. I think he's phenomenal. He's crying when he's losing his mom, you know, his dad. And I'm like, he's so good. But this Barry Allen, I'm like, okay, it's been two seasons. You need to move on from this. It's just like Arrow. He finally got out of that funk he was in for two or three seasons.
So do you think it's just going to be complete alt reality?
I don't know what they're doing
how
now.
How much of season three is going to be alt reality?
I have no idea.
It's got to be at least a little bit.
Do you
bit.
Think we're going to see Jesse Quick as a speedster and Wally West as a speedster in this new alt reality?
I don't.
Well, at least in this next season, yes, at some point.
Some people are talking Flashpoint. Like,
well, that's what it seems. I mean, it is the start of Flashpoint. I mean, like right from the comics. And even in Rebirth, they talk about that actual
with his mom being there.
And people are saying the finale is going to change Arrow and Legends as well.
I'm on Legends.
Yeah,
I love Legends.
And
Legends
Supergirl.
Was awesome.
And Supergirl.
How many episodes?
Though,
because like, okay, between Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends, you've got like 80 episodes of television.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Is that all going to weave into one story? I doubt it, but because it just seems too ambitious.
We'll see.
But I know it's going to be a lot in Flash. It's going to be crazy. I'm really, really, really interested to see how this all plays out together.
I'm excited.
Well, with that said, Mikey, people have been clamoring for it. I know you want to
talk
about
it.
Get into some Rebirth.
Do you guys know what's going on with it? It's like DC's big
Did you? We talked about it a little bit last week. Okay. I did pick it up the day before.
The first issue came out.
And if you're not a comic reader or if you've been away for a while, The Rebirth is a great place to jump in, I think.
It brought me back because I was thinking about it. The New 52, it was like they were like individual stories. Like Batman was good, but I'd go to it then became Commissioner Gordon, and at the same time on Justice League, it was
Batman's
Bruce Wayne.
Good. I mean,
but it was Bruce Wayne and Batman, so it's just like I'd pick them up for single issues and read the story, and it's fine. But it never had the sense of history. And now the JSA is coming back, and all these legacy characters that
you have the JSA
it
ring.
It felt like I was reading a comic from the 80s again.
Yeah,
and I started picked up the four new ones. It just felt like it had history, and they're embracing, and there's hope, and he's still Batman, he's still dark, but...
Yeah. What do you think of this? What do you think of the fact that Geoff Johns wrote this comic, and we know he's not writing any comics for the foreseeable future, because he's got this new job. Is that a coincidence? Is that really going to affect the TV and the movie
world? Why I
want
to talk about talking to Roxy on this, I think this is going to filter through everything in DC.
Yeah.
And bring this sense of hope. I mean, how do you feel on that with The Watchmen is now canon?
I think that
DC
is so
universe.
Crazy. I mean, it's weird. It's hard to hate it because it's not going to make me like The Watchmen any less. Like, that is its own story.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's bold storytelling. Yeah. I think it's bold and ballsy, and I dig it.
Geoff Johns has said Dr. Manhattan is not the villain. He's the antagonist.
Okay.
And also think about this. If you've read Rebirth 1, guys, they show a scene with Bruce looking at three different Jokers.
So what is that about?
They're talking that one of them might be the comedian.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're saying there's a Mr. Oz character.
Who's saying?
But there were three different images in the comic. None of them were the comedian. They were all different versions of the Joker.
They're saying one of those is the comedian.
This is all
Blake,
speculation.
Speculation.
Have you picked up any of this week's
Rebirth
books? Oh.
Superman, they're saying, is Dr. Ozymand, or is saying he's Ozymandias. This character, Mr. Oz in Superman's books, before it's kind of going to Rebirth. They're saying Pandora from the New 52 was Rorschach. Or the question was Rorschach. Okay. But here's a great one. Coming out in Batman next week, there's two new heroes introduced to Gotham. It's a guy and a girl.
Right. They're like Team Gotham or something, right?
Aren't they Night Owl and Silk Spectre.
Oh.
And this is my guess.
Interesting.
Because there was a shot where there's see the bat symbol and like, should we go? And he's like, no, it's not for us. Not yet.
Not yet.
And they look the same. They're the same kind of age-ish.
That's very interesting.
So it's folding Watchmen. I think it's a lot of people are saying it's hearsay to mess with that, but.
It's heresy.
Heresy.
Yeah.
Did I say it wrong? I did.
You're say something else, but it's both.
It's heresy.
Potentially
but
both.
I think it's brilliant. Green Arrow and Black Canary are back together. It's just such a good stepping off point. I think.
Wally West is white again,
but the black African American one is still there,
and they explained away that they're related.
They're
was
there.
The wackiest
both
part to me.
There.
They're like they had a common relative.
And they did a scene where. They showed the Flash talking to Bruce, and it was just like in Batman Superman. It was just like he's like, oh, wrong time. I'm not strong enough. I can't be pulled through.
Yes.
And it was all about, you know, Wally West being trapped in the Speed Force, and you know, Ozymandias or Dr. Manhattan.
Which,
took
if you
10
watch
years
the
away
show,
from.
You can relate to. That's why it was great to watch the season 2 finale, and then the next day I picked up Rebirth, and then it even mentions that Flashpoint thing.
Yeah,
and so it you know
he's trapped in the Speed Force, and he goes to like Iris, and Iris's love is not enough to pull him out, but he goes and finds Barry, and it was Barry's love and their bond that pulled him out. And it's just this moment. I'm like getting teared up reading it. You're just like, oh my God. It just brought everything back. And like, they're all back. And the 10 years of their lives were wiped away. Now they have to figure out like what happened. Well, and just think about it. You've got Ozymandias, who's the smartest man in the world, versus Batman, the world's greatest tech. Can you imagine the stories that would happen with the two of them?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And just the idea that like, you know, with Dr. Manhattan, like he refers in the comic, the original Watchmen, about how he is in all these places at once and how little time means. Like they sort of infer their own multiverse in Watchmen.
Yeah.
And so that's playing with that idea. Like the idea of the multiverse
that
is like
well
these
then.
Things are all real, even though they're all separate. Mm-hmm. Reality is subjective.
And in the comics, one of the Earths is the Charleston characters, which is Rorschach, Question, Blue Beetle, which Frank Miller wanted to use for the Watchmen characters, but they couldn't at the time, so he created these new characters.
Right.
So there is a multiverse with those characters.
And now what about this? Okay, so this someone...
the chat?
Yeah, somebody in the chat just said the New 52. Sorry, I can't pronounce your name. New 52 is like a bad dream. They refer to the New 52 as like... And then there was something like 10 years... Lamontia. They were 10 years were taken away, and everybody appeared younger, which is the New 52.
Yeah.
So there, it was weird, and then so like the Superman, so they killed the New 52 Superman.
He's gone,
And then the current Superman is what? The old Superman who's been living?
Yeah, he's been hiding. But he's the classic barrel-chested,
which
adult
is good
Superman.
To see again. Because yes. I gotta say, I did not like the high neck collar. As much as I love John Romita Jr.'s art,
I know.
I love his art, and I hope he continues. I really miss Superman looking like Superman.
Matthew Leach, I just saw you in the chat there. He said the BVS soundtrack goes great with Rebirth. I have to say, I was listening to that soundtrack when I was reading Rebirth too, and it was so good. It like got me emotional reading it. It fits so perfectly. So all Matthew right. Leach, buddy, absolutely, pal. That good looks stuff. Fantastic. Rebirth, pick it up, guys. Go give him a shot. I'm so excited for Wonder Woman.
We could even try to add in a little Rebirth section every day after TV time, perhaps.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see. We're TV. It's gonna
I'm
be.
I'm gonna read it.
You got it. They're so good. Just Batman, Superman, Green Arrow, and Green Lantern. 52
never
out.
Really sucked me in. I tried, and I just couldn't get excited. Like, the books, they started to pile up. I know when I get a bunch of comics, like, which ones I have to read right away, and I'd be looking at those comics, and it felt like a chore.
I was reading Batman.
Always the Batman
League,
first.
And
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I've slowly, over the 5 years, dwindled down to maybe 5 books a month, and it sucked.
Oh, one thing I wanted to mention, the news that The Rock is now going to play Doc Savage, how do you think that affects the Shazam?
I know.
Shazam! Someone wanted me to say Shazam. I just did.
It that just was, further pushes that was loud. Mikey's point.
I think you said it last week. You don't think it's happening.
No. I said I did think it's happening. He didn't think it's happening.
No, he just signed on for Doc Savage somewhere. Yeah. I was like, he's done. Rock, everyone wants him in his movies. He's too busy.
So weird.
Come on.
I know.
Let's say he does. God, let's say he never has time for his family and does two or three movies a year.
I'm still
right. So he has no time for his family. No, I think all ballers. He does movies. So he's got 3 movies a year he can do.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems weird. It seems. And then the one other thing, we are starting to wind down now. I just wanted to mention that the Flash movie, it's supposed to premiere March 16th, I believe, 2018. And then a week later is Ready Player One, Spielberg's film. Big similarity there. So do you think that there's a chance that the... I mean, I know DC has been moving some dates around.
I think
some
dates are going to move.
Because that's like too big. I mean, to only give it 1 week to dominate the box office...
This Ready Player One's
going to be huge.
From what I understand, or from what I gather, the people that have read the book are so excited for this movie. I have no idea anything about it.
But there's still 2 years for it to hype up. And it's like Steven Spielberg returning to that his old school fantasy blockbuster. Right. Like, I think it's going to be huge.
Let me ask you this. What was the last Spielberg movie? Was it Crystal Skull?
It was Bridge over the River Spies.
He is not...
I think that's it.
You know,
his cachets. He's done more like Lincoln's and stuff like that.
He's Goodwill through the wazoo.
Yeah.
I love his films. But.
BFG is coming good.
Who knows where, you know, it sucks because nowadays it almost seems like superhero movies, that's what gets the box office. And these filmmakers, everything else is kind of sidelined to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're saying Goodwill. Let's say Wonder Woman's fantastic. Suicide Squad's fantastic. Justice League kills. I think the fans will want Flash.
Yeah. You know, no, absolutely.
If we keep going.
Listen, ultimately, it always builds off of your last film. So if, you know, Suicide Squad crushes, what?
Someone in the chat, Ted Kord's back. I forgot about that. Ted Kord there. And Ray Palmer was stuck in the microverse. Ray Palmer, Ted Kord, all these great characters that I forgot so because the new 52 just kind of.
Oh, and Dark Knight. Did you read Dark Knight Master Race 4?
Yes, I'm up. It's good.
I love it.
I should have waited till I had them all.
Because I have now a I'm great like time. They like, go too fast. I'm loving the Dark Knight books.
I'm loving it.
That because it feels like it exists in that world, which is very separate.
Yes.
And again, not
much,
to get back
much
to the
better
movie,
than
but,
the Dark Knight. Was it 3? Or
two strikes again.
So. Speaking of Spielberg, Charlie Oates in chat roll says that Spielberg should also make E.T. 2, The Revenge.
Oh yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Why not?
And it's going to be rated R.
Yeah, let's do it. A lot of sensuality.
A lot of sensuality.
A lot of E.T. sensuality.
That glowing finger goes places that you cannot fathom.
Yes, it does. I think that's pretty much a show. That's a good way to end it. Adam Gertler, put yourself over.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch me on FX Movie Download Friday nights on FX. Man vs. Child. New episodes are coming back really soon. If you live in the Los Angeles area, I also happen to play harmonica with a band called the Freedom Ledges, and we have made it to the final round of an emerging artist competition.
Wow.
We'll be playing at Rusty's Surf Ranch, June 23rd. So if we win that night, then I guess we get to open for some bands in the summer series. So if you're around, we'd love to have you June 23rd at Rusty Surf Ranch, the Freedom Legends. Check us out online.
Roxy, go.
Guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. We're in the middle of our championship series over at Screen Junkies TV Fights. So on Tuesday at 4 p.m., Matt Lieberman, Sasha Pearl Raver, your girl, and Hal Rudnick will be duking it out to win the championship belt. So make sure to check that out.
Wait, I won once. Why wasn't I in the Tournament of Champions?
They've won more than you have.
I've lost.
Higher percentage.
It's like college football, right? Like, you can never keep the stats straight.
Well, it's because Clark Quasto is undefeated, but Johnny LaQuasto's
lost both
times. Oh.
Good, Mike.
I'm at Mike. I put myself over.
Yeah, put yourself
at Mike Kalinowski on Twitter. You can find me at Character Corner. Going to be talking about Our Man coming up very soon. He just made his appearance on Legends. Go read Rebirth, guys. Really good. Give it a shot. Do all the one shots or the one shots.
I know that we've all cosplayed at one time or another, and I know our fans like to cosplay. Mm-hmm. Well, last week I happened to do a really funny show at the IO West.
I was there.
And Adam was there. This was me as Harley Quinn.
Look
shout
at
out.
Balls on that guy.
Yeah, shout out to Alexis Torres for hooking me up with all the Harley Quinn gear, and I think, how was my accent when I came out screaming?
It was really good. It was a really good Harley Quinn. It was a whacked out show, and then at some point somebody fell from the top balcony.
Yes.
And it was a really good live, like, wrestling stunt. It was really horrific that somebody just, like, fell from the top balcony.
It was the Joker. I got to use the I had to hit him in the tummy.
This guy was dressed like the 89 Joker, and he even did some of the dance moves from the from the museum.
Kind of look like Buffalo Bill from Science of the Lambs.
Very much so.
I'll take it. All right. So, anyways, I'm at the American Comedy Company all this weekend in San Diego, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Coming up, I'm going to be on the East Coast actually starting next week, so I won't be here. Damn it. Big show's coming up. June 15th, I'll be headlining in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. 17th in Pittsburgh. I'll be in New York City on June 10th. And that's pretty much it. And also, Wrestling Compadres Slamcast, we just announced we are officially moving to Fox Sports the week of June 29th, which is very exciting. So please follow us at Wrestling Buds. Other than that, anything else, gang?
Shazam! They keep asking me to say Shazam.
Oh, yeah. If we did everything they said, then I'd be doing Bane Cat all week.
Shazam! From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.
I promise you, the dawn is coming.